can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Saying, Don, never call someone's bluff unless you know what the answer is going to be. So at the end of the first putt, we go upstairs, you and I, and we've just done part one, and there's two women up there and my son. They work in
Claudia, who's like a little field mouse. You know, does she remind you of a mouse? Field mouse, you know, they're little cute things.
Not a titmouse.
No. I have field mice where I live, and you catch them, and they're a little smaller than a house.
Is this while you're looking at the bees? Yeah. So, Don, so we go upstairs, and there's two women up there and my son, and they said, how's the podcast going? I said, we're doing it. And they said, well, there's been some chat, and we can take criticism, Don, you and I. He said, there's been some chat. I said, I don't know where the chat is, but it's becoming boring. It's all the same. You say the same things every week. You say your shout-outs, you do all that. And I said, oh. So we had the cockiness knocked out of us, and we thought, we'll take that
but
on
you
advisement.
You've got to be brought down a peg or two, don't you,
absolutely.
Occasionally?
I mean, so they said, why don't you structure what you do and indicate when you sign off that next week we're going to have a guest and this is the guest and we're going to canvas and cover topics and maybe we could get the two girls or women or, yes, women, females to come down and we could chat because they're much younger than us about what floats their boat and what they disagree with what we say and all that. And I said, oh, well, they've got a whole program. And I thought,
we're going to sit down.
This is Dr. Ben Fordham-esque.
I know.
Thank God he comes on every fortnight.
But at least you're willing to listen, which is good. You're open. You're open. Right. And we're going to have staff meetings, or what do they call them? Production meetings.
Yeah, well,
we're big on production meetings.
So we're going to try and not be boring or whatever. So righto. So, Don, I reckon that the world is turning. People have just about had a gutful of this, and I know we won't get criticised for this, but I'm supporting this, so we'll probably, if the cap fits, wear it. But I was going to play, but I can't. This is going around everywhere on all the social media. This is Alex Antic. He's a South Australian senator. And I was going to play it off the phone, but I don't know how to hook it up, so I'm going to read it out. This is not.
No, play it.
I can't, Don, I can't.
You've done it before.
It doesn't matter, the words are the same. But this is him saying this.
I hope you can deliver it in the same fashion as he delivered it. Well, I thought he was very, 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 very good.
All I'm going to do,
bugger it up.
This is verbatim what he said, so this is not plagiarised. This is Alec Antic is what he said in Parliament. And if you don't think the world is just our country is not agreeing with this, you're living in an unreal world. So this is what he said in Parliament. And I quote, "The welcome to country ceremonies are now as ubiquitous as they are inescapable. Australians are forced to sit through these rituals everywhere, to the commencement of Parliament, to school assemblies. They're now more common than singing the national anthem. And far from being an ancient practice, these rituals began to be used by progressive activists in the early 2000s. The practice suggests that Australians, whose families have lived in this country for generations, possibly since settlement, are not welcome. The welcome to country, listen to this, the welcome to country is nothing more than something wealthy city people love to do. I'll just read that again. The welcome to country is nothing more than something wealthy city people love to do to make them feel good. Wow. All Australians have the right to call this country home. But the activists and the bureaucratic classes want division, as it perpetuates their victimhood mindset, which they are and use to manipulate people. And by the way, when is reconciliation actually going to be achieved? What does it look like practically? Will it be achieved when we get a treaty? Will it be achieved when Australians are paying some sort of rent tax? Or perhaps when there is a new Indigenous nation that will further divide Australians? The answer is that activists will never be happy, and we all know it, because their bitterness and resentment are their brand, are their bread and butter. So next time when you're asked to participate in one of these ceremonies, despite what they say, refusing doesn't make you a racist. So here's my motto to the grievous industry, the grievance industry. Thanks for the virtue theatre, but like most Australians, I'm sick and tired of being welcomed to my own country. Now that's Alec Antic. Alex Antic.
Now, and you would have got that, I should imagine, and this is what irritates me. That is not reported in the print media or whatever else. It's on YouTube. And why have you got to go researching for this information on YouTube? And also, I don't know if you saw what else Alec did, but he was part of the Senate Legal and Constitutional Affairs Legislation Committee. It is on YouTube too. And he was asking the question about The Voice, which I certainly don't understand, and I'm really interested in getting some information about it. And he was asking who qualifies
to be Indigenous. And
they, now, hang on, let me finish. And I think they were from the two people from the, I stand to be corrected, from the Attorney General's Department. They're the bureaucrats. And I'm sure it was a Labor minister. He had grey hair and a beard, short cropped beard. I don't know who
he is. The government spokesman said that is bordering on being racist, even asking the question, which is where this heads.
And Alex, to his credit, I don't know whether he's a lawyer but he's very articulate and he's a very clear thinker, and he keeps asking the question which he cannot get answers for. And when they became frustrated, especially this minister, he said this is bordering on racism.
Right. So
I mean, this is ridiculous.
So, Don, of course it is. And this is what they, if you listen to that thing again, it says that this is the grievance industry to intimidate. Their bread and butter is to have a grievance. And the pertinent part of that statement to me was, it is nothing more than wealthy city people doing this to make themselves feel good. And if you want to take that to the next logical extension, this is the AFL. This is the pompous, arrogant people.
It's not down with the AFL, it's everybody.
Don, we keep saying that the AFL keep pushing this nonsense about Indigenous and the cringeworthy nonsense at the grand final when there were three references to Welcome to Country, welcoming Happy Jack, some other singing of an Aboriginal song. They are wealthy people, pompous, arrogant aristocracy, wanting to make themselves feel good, pushing back. And this woman said, once again, it is not the right of any organisation to delegate supposed view of its members. The problem is now in all areas of society, in which all sorts of businesses, sporting clubs and other organisations presupp- impose a view on behalf of its members. That is the AFL, and as if they stop going on with the bullshit and trying to divide people, and the next time you go to a function where they read out Welcome to Country, you want to push back on it and say, how about we all say thanks for being on this great country, thanks for being here, and how about the people who are here first say thanks for developing it into what it was and giving us an opportunity to be successful like most, like all of the AFL players who are Indigenous, become successful because they get a very good income by playing a sport that they're very good at, and they are very good at it. And how about we stop the whinging and whining about our lot in life? Your skin colour doesn't decide whether you've suffered trauma or grievance or have had a rough life or overcome stuff. Everyone knows that, but they just push it and push it because it is their bread and butter. And their Welcome to Country is an absolute crock of nonsense, and it's been perpetrated since the early 2000s by activists. And that man is a star for saying that, because so then we get on to the ridiculous notion, Don, that there are more than two genders, male and female. And you and I, Don, we're old enough to say if you want to be and class yourself at whatever you want to be, if you want to say you're a woman when you're actually a biological male, that's fine. But please don't insult us by saying that you're a birthing parent. Males can have their periods. Males can give birth because they can't. And as Dave Chappelle, the man who got cancelled on Netflix, but because he was so popular, he's now allowed to perform, he said, it just is absolute ridiculous nonsense that every person on this planet came out between a woman's legs. That means no man can give birth to people. It's women that give birth to people. And if you want to call yourself anything you like, that's fine. But please don't insult us by saying there's more than two genders. If you have two X chromosomes, you're a male. You're a female. And if you have an XY chromosome, you're a male. And that's it. After that, call yourself anything you like. But please stop browbeating us about the genders and who is a biological man and who's a biological woman.
Now, while you're on that tack, YouTube, when I was flicking about Alec Antic, I came across Pauline Hanson, who spoke, and it was only last week, International Women's Day. And yes. In Parliament, she's a senator for One Nation? Or
one, I think One Nation.
Okay. And she acknowledged men. There are more men suicide. Did you know this? There are more men that suicide. There are more men in prison. There are more men that are homeless. There are more men who are unemployed. When it comes to family law, a majority of men are disadvantaged. And also, men are a quarter of domestic violence. Also, do they acknowledge men's health issues? And, yeah, Pauline Hanson, she says things that a lot of people are too afraid to say.
And so do we, Don. So she is One Nation, started it in 1997. She developed that party.
But that doesn't get exposure, does it? You've got to go onto YouTube. It's not reported in mainstream media or whatever else.
Because, Don,
Alec Antic and Pauline Hanson, making a bit of sense, because the politicians towing the party line, it's a load of bullshit, and they do not tell the truth. They skirt around.
So, Don, you keep saying to me about the AFL. Of course I keep saying it about the AFL.
But you got
to... No, Don, listen to me.
I get sick of it.
You shouldn't, because...
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because we were charged with...
Yeah, but that's years ago.
Shut the fuck up, Don. We were charged with vilification by that pompous, arrogant buffoon who runs the competition.
No, don't talk.
Just shut up, Don. And you wonder why we take it to heart. We were thrown
you
under the bus.
Well,
you were fined, and so was Sheehan.
Oh, no.
We were fined.
But get off it. He's done.
No, Don. That's exactly... The wealthy people who are from the city, it just makes them feel good by having a go at us for discussing a very legitimate subject and topic, we're thrown under the bus with the most bogus and dishonest case you could bring before a court. And you wonder why that I keep mentioning it, because we'll never get over the fact that we had to stump up $100,000, for daring to have a discussion why Winmar lifted his jumper out at Victoria Park. And we all agreed that if he says that's what he lifted it for, that's what it was. And it was a completely legitimate discussion, and we were thrown under the bus by that pompous, arrogant buffoon who runs the competition. So that's why I keep going on about it.
Okay.
And Alex Antic is a star.
Now.
And so is Dave Chappelle.
Last Wednesday, Daniel Andrews, that man, I find it very, very hard to like him. His criticism of Robert Redlett, who was the commissioner for IBAC, wrote a letter back in December, which has just been leaked about his concerns with regard to IBAC and the government's position. How Dan Andrews dismissed him was just so rude. That man leaves a lot to be desired as far as a leader is concerned. His manner is obnoxious.
Yeah, arrogant, pompous, buffoons.
Oh, and he can't. Why has he got the right to be so arrogant and rude? Now, there's a learned man voicing his concerns, yet he's put down. And I think he was appointed by the government of the day, which was Labor.
Okay, so Don, there's our political statements, and how appropriate that just as we finished them, our regular, when she's available, our regular panellist and guest, Phoebe, Fiona Byrne, has entered the building and probably didn't hear any of what we were saying, which is probably to her benefit. So come over here, Phoebe, and sit down here with the microphone.
Now, Phoebe negotiates the Westgate Bridge, and so do you. Gentlemen, ladies and man and woman,
what's that,
I
Tom?
Negotiated the Westgate Bridge last week. I was going to Ballarat. Could you tell me, are you people confused with the roadworks? I finished up in at Laverton. I was in a particular lane. The roadworks just shot me off. It was so confusing. Shut up. Do you people have the same problem as I do? Because you are regular travellers over that bridge.
What you failed to do, Don, is read the signs.
Sam,
hello. I don't know what I've missed already this morning, and I'm probably...
You missed nothing.
I'm glad I've missed it.
You missed plenty.
Anyway, Don, Sam, on this occasion, I agree with Don. The roadworks have made negotiating the Westgate Freeway quite a challenge, and at the very least, it's just a nightmare, to be honest with you, and it's going on for years and years and years. It's dreadful. It's a dreadful piece of road to drive on at the moment.
Not being able to, as he said, concentrate, but I was in a line of traffic. I couldn't get out because the other line was... I couldn't get
blocked
in.
You in?
Yes, I couldn't, and I just had to follow the stream.
And Sam,
yes, Phoebe,
you also have voiced some concerns about your experiences on the Westgate.
Yes.
I saw which car you've got out there today, and that's
magic, isn't it?
I love that car.
It is a beautiful
but
car.
Didn't you have a bit of a semi-bingle on the bridge at one point?
I did indeed. I was coming home from a function at 10:30 one evening 6 months ago, and it was raining, and... I went to veer in my lane, doing 80k, veer onto the Westgate freeway to head toward the bridge, and this B double edged over the line and wrote the side of my car off. Not that he would know that he hit me, and I limped the car home to the garage and had to pull the mudguards off the wheel. And so it is a very dangerous carriageway. Now, Phoebe, could I just tell you, we went upstairs and we've just had the Riot Act read to us, and they said people are saying that, this is boring what we speak about. We speak about the same things every week, about potholes and bloody...
potholes?
Shout-outs and all that. And we've taken this on advisement, Phoebe, so it's very, very enlightening that you come along. Do you think that we're getting boring and people, what do you think? What should we do? Should we get more women and ask opinions about things, or should we just speak about what we think?
I don't think either of you are boring. And
good on you, Phoebe.
No, I don't. I wouldn't come in here if I thought you were boring.
No, but you're a pacifist. You don't upset anybody. You sit on the fence. You do not tell the truth.
Oh, please.
You're wondering where your next story is coming from. That's why you don't like upsetting people.
No, Don.
Don.
Don, don't tell me she doesn't tell the truth. She will say it as she is. She doesn't care about criticism. Stop. This is what Nixon said about her.
Nixon?
Oh, stop it, Ricky. Ew. Oh, my God.
Ricky?
Oh, Ricky, I thought you were
my
talking about
Ricky.
The dead president.
Where is
America?
Ricky today,
oh, yeah,
by
the dead
way.
President of America would be speaking about Phoebe.
I'm not backing her.
Woman there. I'm not backing her, but don't tell me that. I want to ask her. She wrote in her column in the Sunday Herald.
Oh, okay. Tell me what. I wrote about you.
I know you wrote about me.
What did
me.
You do?
No, you, you wrote about me and she
you was, it was short news week, was it?
No.
I tell
no.
you what she does, Don. If you give her a quote, she'll write it down.
Oh, you got to watch what you say.
No.
I'm just saying, if you say to her a statement.
In confidence?
Oh, shut the fuck up, Don, you
leave
dumbass.
Leave now. Leave now.
When I say something to her on the record, she will write it down and won't take it out of context, which is what she did. I said I taught John Travolta how to dance by him looking at my tapes, and she put that in, tongue in cheek. So Don,
what are you talking
okay,
about?
Okay, so Don, Sam was one of a number of people that has been approached to be part of Dancing with the Stars, and
Was it intellectually disabled or physically disabled?
No, I think it would be fair to say, Sam, that you were quite intrigued by the approach.
Yes.
But it just wasn't something that you could do because your ankle's a bit wonky.
No,
at the
I would have done it if I had been able to actually operate properly on both feet. So,
have you ever been asked to do a reality show, Don?
No, I'm not a name. Well,
Sam, what do you think Don would be good at?
I tell you what he'd be fantastic at.
Don't start comedy. That is not your forte, Fiona.
I tell you what he'd be fantastic at. He'd been fantastic at in a group chat on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Dancing with the Stars, Married for any reality show, he'd be fantastic because he's antisocial. He'd argue with every single person.
Now, Fiona.
People would think he's an arsehole and a prick, and he would probably get through to the finals without dropping a set. And it would be it'd be fantastic because they'd actually see the great Leviathan who captained Hawthorne to a couple of premierships, just what a cockhead he is.
Maybe we should pitch him.
Yeah, I reckon we should start a campaign to get Don onto a reality show. Yeah.
Grumpy old footballers. There's got to be a show for that.
I've got a present for you from our surgeon in South Australia. Johnny, I'm going to put it together. This is one of those puzzles that he sent up. You took great delight in putting me down. Mm. Now I'm going to put it together.
This is exactly what they said upstairs, Don.
There you go, Johnny. You try and get that puzzle undone.
This is exactly what they said upstairs, Don, that we do the same things week in, week out. This is the third week in a row that we've mentioned this.
Okay,
I want to ask Phoebe.
Yes.
This is her phone going. This is how busy she is.
No, it's Don's phone, I think.
No, it's not.
We don't watch, Don. I don't believe you watched the Academy Awards, did you?
No.
So I didn't certainly watch them, but this is of topical interest, Phoebe. Did you watch the Academy Awards?
Yes, I did. Have you reported
on them? And what happened and what didn't happen?
Well, what didn't happen is no one got up on stage and slapped anyone this year, which was.
But he's been barred, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I mean that was the big drama from last year, and it became
Will Smith.
And this isn't. Well, this is a pun. Sorry, it's a pretty lame one. That incident was the punchline for a lot of jokes throughout, or references throughout the show this year. There was a lot of referencing back to what had happened last year, but without mentioning Will Smith's name. So the show was pretty much hitch-free, which I think is a good thing. What I will say is the winners were clearly people who did well in the acting categories, but they didn't come from movies that
diversity,
had been...
Diversity, inclusion and equity, they were what? The winners of?
Shut up,
well,
John.
Well, they weren't from movies that had been, I don't think, particularly well viewed. And in fact,
People don't go to the movies or they watch on Netflix or
Both. I mean, people go and can see films in theatres or they can watch them on streaming platforms. But I thought the one thing that bugged me is the movie that ended up winning the best film was Everywhere, Everything... Everything,
All at Once.
Yes, All at Once, which I have tried to watch and I really just... It wasn't my type of film. I didn't really get it. But I couldn't... Looking back over the year, the movie that I felt should have won Best Film was Top Gun Maverick, not because it was the best acting and not because it was the best story, but it was without question the best viewed film. And people went and watched it. It actually made people leave the house and go to the theatre.
You know the reason they said it didn't win?
Why?
Because it glorified patriotic America and war.
It was more like Star Wars than reality. I mean, it was like I watched it and I thought it was a very cleverly constructed film because it really did make you feel like you were, in a sense, almost watching a Star Wars film. It had that... There was plenty of threads of nostalgia that appealed to someone of my age.
If I may, Don, you keep telling me to shut up. But what you don't understand is that what I said is absolutely correct. The film that won the Academy Award and all its was purely based on diversity, inclusion and equity. It was an Asian woman for the first... Nothing wrong with this, but an Asian woman for the first time, and they gloated over the fact that the diverse nature of the academies was won by someone from another country.
Was it an Asian film or American film?
It was an American film.
With Asian actors.
And the winner was...
Her name is... Michelle.
Lou or who?
No,
or
Michelle.
That's fine. But they put so much emphasis and policy and status on the fact, well, how about we just view it, and if it's good, it's good, and it doesn't matter who's in it and what colour they are or where they come from. They just hang their hat on all this bullshit. And can I ask you this?
Yes, you can. But can I just say, Michelle Yeoh is the lady who won the Best Actress Award. She beat Cate Blanchett in that category. She's a fantastic actress. Now, I'm not going to take anything away from her. She's a fantastic actress.
I'm not
either. Done a lot of terrific films. And she was a Bond girl many years ago. She was in The World Is Not Enough. I think that's... No, Tomorrow Never Dies. Tomorrow Never Dies? Tomorrow Never Comes. Whatever. One of them. She was terrific. And she's married to Jean Todt, the former head of Ferrari, Formula One racing team.
So I agree with everything you said. So why make a song and dance about who she is and where she comes from?
Because
it's just this
but
crap
you,
they carry
Sam,
on with.
Sam, stop that. You know that in news is always looking for the new. Part of news is the new. And the new angle was, you know, it was the first time that someone from an Asian background has won that category. It was a very emotional moment. As a viewer at home, seeing that big outpouring of emotion was good. That's what award ceremonies need.
So answer
that's what
me
television
this.
Needs.
Answer me this. In this day and age of everyone being the same and the sexes all coming together and gender equality and all that, how about the trove of scantily clad women coming on with almost wearing a couple of band-aids and a cork half of them? They were just almost undressed. They were.
Whereabouts?
On the red carpet and arriving, nothing more than preening like peacocks. Where is the hypocrisy about not exploiting your looks and your aesthetic appeal and not shaming everyone else who doesn't look like you?
You're being a grump. Honestly, I know what point you're making.
I love it, Phoebe. Like the Greek
so
girls
the
at the
women
Grand Prix.
Were scantily dressed.
Absolutely.
Well, is that right, Fiona?
Look, they were dressed in evening wear.
No, hang on. You can
no
dress
one
in evening
No one turned up at the red carpet or the champagne-coloured carpet, as it was, for the Academy Awards wearing a bikini. They were all, but they were wearing various forms of...
See-through?
You know, not really. Well, translucent.
Sheer.
Translucent,
you
some of them.
You could see half of them. You could nearly see their groins and their breasts, and I love. But people push back on all that nonsense, except at the academies. They say anything goes, but outside that, nothing goes.
I think red carpets in general, that's, you know, it's designed for people to preen and to pose and show themselves off and to be decorative.
The hypocrisy of it should not be lost on people. It's like the paper, the newspapers. They say, oh, they're pushing back on fat shaming and aesthetic appeal, but yet they keep putting page three women in on the beach on a hot day in brief bikinis.
Sam, you're sounding very old this morning.
No, on the contrary, I love it. But this, I'm just talking about the hypocrisy of it.
So I went to Melbourne Fashion Festival last week. You would have loved it, Don. Why weren't you there?
Did I see something?
Let her finish.
With NGV, is that part of it? Because there was a chap that died. He did some magical stuff.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, but
print. Exactly.
It was terrific, and you would have loved it,
well,
Don.
Why didn't you ask me?
Oh, because I forgot.
Oh,
and
geez,
you would have said no anyway, and I couldn't.
I would have gone to a fashion thing. Male or female?
Would you?
Yes. If it was what was it? Male.
Do you want to come to one tonight?
Oh, not no, because I've got something else. Oh, no, don't. I've got something else I'm waiting on. Otherwise, I would. What's on tonight?
There's two functions tonight. There is a jewellery, an accessory label that's showing.
You, what, jewellery?
You would love it. Look at you. What? You're covered in jewels.
Yeah, but you can't. I'd rather see what they're wearing.
You've got two rings on, a bangle. You've got a bright-coloured watch. You've got a necklace. You've got
trinkets. That's not a watch. That's a bangle.
Oh, it's a bangle. It's not a watch.
Right,
it's
a bracelet.
You are actually wearing more jewellery than Sam and I combined.
Yeah, you are.
Well, you're wearing nothing.
I'm wearing clothes, but I am wearing no jewellery. That's correct.
And nor am I, Don. If you've got to extend your personality by showing people that you've got jewellery and crap on,
well,
just
all you
be
wear
yourself.
Is that, oh, I can't be serious, red T-shirt. That's your wardrobe.
That's my wardrobe for podcast day, it is, Don. Yes, because these are available from michaelchristianmenswear.com.
Oh, my God.
For the very, very small
premium. Now, can I ask you two something relevant, because I live in the country. Now, COVID, is it on the increase? And I've talked to a couple of people who think it is. And what I've investigated was they believe it's going to peak in April. Is that right? And a friend of mine had COVID last weekend, got the testing from the chemist, and it took 3 days to show up. Now, they were feeling sick on the Friday, didn't show until the Friday. Now, that's not the test. There are no more facilities around as there were through COVID. What do they call those?
Rat tests?
No,
testing sites, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the COVID testing sites. There's none of those around anymore.
You
just
worked out that it was
Shut up, Johnny. I'm talking to Fiona. She's sensible.
Well, to answer your question, so I was driving, I was sitting in traffic on the Westgate Bridge. Sorry to be a bore about the Westgate, but Neil Mitchell was talking about this topic this morning on 3AW, and he was saying that he had anecdotally heard from his contacts that there was a new COVID wave that appears to be starting. And so, you know, I think everybody...
In the country, you're city dwellers. Is it COVID not being reported as it was? And
it's being reported differently. I mean, we used to, 12 months ago, we would have been doing a daily, not just, I work for obviously a newspaper, but most media outlets were doing a daily update on numbers. And that isn't the case anymore. But there are, you know, it feels it's more like sort of a monthly reporting that we get now.
Yeah. So do you think there's going to be a spike, as this person said to me last night, who was a doctor, they said April is the spike, they believe could be spiking in April.
Well,
is
I would be,
right?
I'm going to listen to the medical industry and hear what they've got to say. But what I would say is I'm not an expert in COVID. I can't tell you whether or not there is going to be a spike or not. But what I would say is during the colder months of the year, you always see a spike in... In particular illnesses.
Okay, we're just finding out, Don, the absolute fraud and hoax that this Victorian government perpetrated on the community when the vaccines didn't work, the masks were pointless,
God,
and they went on this rampant thing... The COVID is no more, transmittable.
Those people are right. He just
no
goes
more
on with the same bullshit.
The vaccines are useless. They don't stop people getting it. Stop it being passed
Can
on.
Can we pull out and his plug? You're standing near him. Pull his plug
Fiona,
out.
Fiona, are there testing
What did you disagree with then?
Disagreeing with you, but we have heard you say this quite
a
bit.
Well, then he brought the topic up about the COVID starting again. I'm saying it's bullshit.
Okay, I'm changing the topic. I went and saw Rod Stewart last night. Now, he is a marvel. He's a marvel.
What?
My God. I think he's 78, would I be correct in saying that?
Yep.
And
78?
Yeah, just unbelievable. Great.
It didn't receive much publicity that he's in Melbourne.
He's here. He's got another show tonight.
Why is it, Fiona, they all seem to come out in autumn, Melbourne's autumn? Why is that? All these overseas acts.
Probably because it's just the, you know, international touring schedule. They're doing big. They're doing Europe or they're doing America in their summer, and so you know Australia is going to hit at a different time than that.
Have you finished on?
But I just want
to
say, Rod Stewart was fantastic.
No, you're not going to talk to anyone in a minute because we've got our guest in. So get on with what you're going to speak to her about.
Now,
and hurry up.
You've got 5 minutes.
He's a rude prick.
Go on.
Now. The Darling River.
Oh, God. I have nothing to say.
The Darling River. You imbecile. The Darling River. How many times have you brought the Darling River up?
Bailey Smith.
What? Who's Bailey Smith? do you know who Bailey Smith is?
The Western Bulldogs footballer.
Oh, what about him, Don?
What about him?
Come on.
Well, he's kind of made a change to his life. As it seems to be the Herald Sun is running these things. It's a cathartic experience
for a lot
of footballers. Jordan Dego is in there at the moment.
What's he done?
Well, he's reformed. He's realised the error of his ways about sniffing coke or whatever they do. And how it just amazes me, the mentality of these league footballers. They're top athletes in their profession. I do not understand how they can deviate or put their bodies through what they're doing away from the game. If they're professional athletes, their body should be sacrosanct.
What a tremendous segue, Don, because our next guest can speak not ad nauseam. He can speak about what you put in your body and why and what's good for your body.
What about
concussion? Because we've had him on before and we're going to close this off now and introduce him. And we have one specific thing we want to ask him, but he can cover a whole lot of topics. We've had him on before and had tremendous reaction to him. So when we come back...
Why don't we just go straight into it?
Because, Don, we like to have a segment where we have an interview and we don't want to run it into all the other crap you've been speaking about so that it dissuades people from listening to him, because he said, why would you put me on the back of the shit that you've been speaking? Give me a forum on my own.
Night. I'm worried because